Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the International Black Show, International Black Summit Talk Show. I'm your host, John Thomas. I'd like to welcome you all out this evening. The show tonight is going to be about what are you thankful for? Following the heels of Thanksgiving holiday, you know, we thought we would look to see what we're present to, you know, what's going on in our lives, and what are people thankful for. So if you would, if you would call in, the number is 646-716-9827, and let me know what you're thankful for. The caller at 347-325, are you there?
Yes, brother. My name is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm fine today. I'm fine. Well, I'm thankful that God gave me my life. I'm thankful that also He gave me to help others in our community. Also, I'm thankful that, you know, that I'm here trying to impact International Black Summit.
Okay. Well, it's so good to hear your voice. You know, I'm not on the call every week, but I think the last time I was here as a host, I do the fifth Sundays of the year.
Right.
You were on. So, welcome.
Thank you so much, brother. You keep up the good work.
Well, I am, and we are. And I didn't say this in the beginning, but if anybody's interested in more information about the International Black Summit, they can go to www.blacksummit.org, and we have a new website there. Actually, it's more like a social network so that you can join, you can upload your picture, you can get to know people, you can talk with people throughout the year. And we have our next annual event coming up in Baltimore, and you can find in August, and you can find out more information at that website. Someone called in with 111. I know that's not a number. Caller, are you there? Hello? Not sure who that is. So, Jay, how have you been?
I've been all right. Yeah, I've been. I'm blessed.
Okay.
I'm definitely blessed. You know, this year so far, you know, been pretty good to me. You know, I've been working on myself, trying to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And plus trying to impact others.
Mm-hmm.
So. I've been on the go. I've set my mind on certain aspect of things, and I'm improving. And it feels good when you let yourself be in the change, and when you people actually see what you're trying to do, and they say, oh yeah, that's just an improvement, it makes you feel good because, you know, before you impact others, you got to change within yourself, and you got to let God, you know, be into your life.
Exactly.
And you got to trust in Him that He's going to bring you through no matter what. So I'm blessed. And plus one, and I emphasize it again, and I'm so happy that when I started calling International Black Summit, you know, my life was changing already, but it was like an extra boost that I know that I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I have a small part in our community that we can make it happen, and it feels so good that when people say, oh yeah, well, you know, we got to talk about the National Black Summit, you need to call these brothers and sisters because they talk about things that we need to hear. That's the day right there. You know, they go to certain conventions and stuff like that. Cause I'm working on it too, and it makes me feel good that I'm part of the family.
Right. Have you joined the network yet?
No, I ain't joined the network. That's the one thing I'm working on too.
Did you know about it?
I heard about the network, but you know, work and school, you know, I can't, you know, I was really, really can get into what, like, if everything works out right in January, I would definitely be jumping on that.
All right, well, it doesn't cost you anything to join. It's actually free. It's online.
Yeah.
But it's a way for you to connect with the people that you've been listening to and connect with the other people who want to connect with you. You know what I'm saying? All you need is access to a computer.
Yeah.
Then we can see your smiling face.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, hold on a hot second. There's someone else that just joined us. Let's bring them into the conversation, then I'll come back to you, okay?
No problem.
Okay, caller at 312-593. Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I just had you on mute.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing just wonderful. Who am I speaking with?
Henrietta.
Hey, Henrietta.
How are you, John?
I'm doing just fine. I'm glad that someone from the team has called in because I know you guys have a format and I'm probably not following it.
It's all good.
All right, let me just check back in with Jerry, and then I'll come back to you.
Right, no, I'm fine. I'm just listening.
All right, because it's only the three of us on the call.
Okay, whatever you need.
All right, darling. So,
all right.
So Jerry, did you have anything else you want to say?
No, just happy holiday to everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
And did you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Yes, I did. I celebrated Thanksgiving.
All right. And was there anything in particular about that you want to acknowledge? Or said another way, anything throughout the year that you want to be acknowledged that you're thankful for?
Oh, God, I'm thankful so much. It's just so much. But this is the first year I've been away from my family, my biological family, and it was interesting because I'm thankful for all of my I can't think of the word that we use, but the other families, you know, that we extended, that's the word, all of my extended families. And I had a really nice, peaceful Thanksgiving at home, really, and didn't do much of anything, and usually I make about 5 or 6 stops on Thanksgiving. But this year, there was a lot of stuff going on with other people, and I chose to tend, you know, to be support for them, and that was really good. It was really good. It was different, but I got a lot of something from it. I'm not really sure I can articulate it yet, but it was really, really good. It's been a great year, just with wonderful people, and you know, I hear Jerry on the line, and just, you know, we just had some really great, interesting experiences this year. The summit talk show team, and you know, just as individuals we have. So I'm thankful for so just about everything. Just name it. I'm thankful for it.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Well, as you know, I'm going to keep cutting at it differently. You know, this to be the first round.
Okay.
And let me just check in with Jerry, and then I'll share. Jerry, was there anything else you wanted to, and thank you, Henrietta, for sharing.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Jerry, was there, I know I stopped you right there in the midst of your sharing about.
No, that's all right. No, you got to keep the sisters happy, you know.
Okay.
I'm happy that especially the International Black Summit host team. Y'all keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing a marvelous job because y'all took your time out of your busy schedule to impact our lives. And y'all need to be big up. All jokes aside, y'all really are. Because in the media, we're not going to get encouragement of our people. Y'all come, no matter if you're sick, no matter what you do, you're always trying to make a way to impact our lives. Listen, all right, you fell and all is okay. You could do it. So every morning I get up, I look at myself in the mirror, and I say, you know what? My extended family, the Black Sons, said I could do it. And I get up every day. Every day I said, let me meditate. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from Black Sons. I learned to meditate. I learned to take my time. I learned that there's certain things that I can't do at the time. It's okay, long as I stay the course. I learned a whole lot. So basically, what little I learned, I try to, you know, I am passing to others, and it's so enriching that wow, you know, I'm doing this, and it feels great, and I just wish people just understand how I feel. I can't even explain. It's a great feeling. It really is.
All right, wonderful. I mean, really, thank you for sharing that. It's been that impactful for you. I've been participating with International Black Summit. I went to my first summit in 1994 in New Orleans. And I participated in another one after that, and then I got involved with some other things. But somewhere around 2000, I completed my work that I was doing with another company, Landmark Education, where I had been a program leader for them for going on about, at the time it was about 7 years. And so, you know, about my 10-year mark, I completed my participation there and started really participating a lot more in the International Black Summit. And when I say the International Black Summit, that doesn't necessarily mean the event, the annual event, because Henrietta will probably attest that we get just as much work done on the phone calls and the team calls, and transformation happens on those calls, you know, that happens at the weekend, and sometimes it doesn't happen at the weekend. So it's happening all year long, and I just want to acknowledge you, Jerry, for sharing that you get up in the morning and you get present to some of the things you've heard, and that carries the day, and it does it for me too. And Henrietta even said the same thing for her extended family. So
yeah.
I like to take a moment to just share part of what I'm thankful for. And one of the things that I'm thankful for, and saying thankful is more like being grateful for. My parents had Thanksgiving over their house this year in the great town of Spring Lake, North Carolina, which is a small town of about 12,000 people outside of Fort Bragg, which is now going to be the largest military base in the country, and near Fayetteville. You know, some of those places might ring a bell. And My mother got remarried, you know, back in 1981. So, you know, her husband, my stepfather, his family is the one that came. And he's got two other brothers and a sister. And his brother's kids were like 6, 5, 6, 7 years old when I met them, and I was somewhere around 18 or 19. And so I actually got to watch them grow up. And I got to watch them grow up, you know, through these regular family gatherings, even though they might be 3, 4, 5, 6 months apart. And then there was this big gap. So now they're like 32, 33, and 34. And one of them has two children, and the other has a little girl. And you know, like, and the process begins all over again. And it was, like, really good. When they told me that they were going to be having the Thanksgiving at the house, all I could think about was seeing Keisha, Andre, Angie, and Kim.
Okay.
You know, their parents, fine, no problem. Their brothers and sisters, my uncles and aunts, all I wanted to do was see them.
Right.
Grown up, and it was just a treat. And my daughter came down from North Carolina Central, which is in Durham, and she was there, and she's 21. And it was just, I'm so grateful to see the cycle. You know, I just see the cycles. I remember when I was 32, 33, 34, what I was doing. And I kind of, like, just look back on, okay, they might be in that space of their life right now. And you know, they'll be moving into a different space. I mean, and it was just amazing because I'm looking at these same people, same bodies, same individuals who all four of them used to pile up on me. You know, because at the time, I was the youngest adult on the scene, so I was pretty much the big kid. And they were the little kids. So, of course, the parents gave me the children. And just to see them at this stage was really, really very powerful. And I am so thankful and grateful to be alive and to be able to witness that. And it's now got me looking at, okay, so now what about the next 20 years? You know, what is my relationship going to be like with them for the next 20 years? And so that's where I want to start my sharing. I got some other things I'd like to share, but I'm going to start there. I don't want to monopolize the time. Just want to check in, find out where you guys are, any questions, comments.
John?
Yes, ma'am.
So you got it right in my face, as usual. And a friend of mine that I've known since I was 5 years old passed away. She made her transition about 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And I know, and I had the opportunity to be with her every day, I would say, for probably the last 5 or 6 weeks that she was here.
Okay.
And her daughter is my goddaughter, and, you know, over the years, because I've lived in a lot of different places and traveled a lot, I didn't see her a lot, and I'd see her, and she would be 4 or 5 years older, kind of like the experience you have with your relatives, you know. And so when her mom made the decision to go on and, you know, make her, you know, when she knew she was going to make her transition and all of that, you know, we talked about it, and then we talked about how to how she was going to share that with her daughter. And it's amazing how the universe does things, because every time I see her, I would always say, oh, my God, I missed this year. I didn't see her during that time or didn't see that time. I got to be godmother at the best time.
Wow.
And it was an experience that I will never, ever forget. I will cherish it for the rest of every life, okay? Every life. Because
every life.
Everyone, you know. And it's like you said, when I look at her now we're in communication every day. I was thinking just what you were thinking. What are the next several years going to be? Like, I actually went to her house for Thanksgiving. I didn't even know she could cook. And, I mean, she said she's been cooking, and, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what, just the thing. So I'm so thankful for that opportunity to really step into godmother, you know, what we always thought godmother was. You know, when we were growing up, your godmother was the person who stepped up in the instance if you weren't hearing longer.
Right, right.
And, I mean, it was so, so real in the moments, you know, that I was, you know, that we had that experience. And we worked together, you know, we worked together every day on the service. And then I had the pleasure and the privilege of doing the service. And I am so thankful that I had the opportunity to do it. And I just would like to acknowledge my goddaughter for being such a great woman, you know, just a great woman to be able to, you know, just handle all of the things that she had to handle. And it was just a wonderful experience to be able to look at her and see what a great person she really is.
Wow. What I'm present to in your sharing, Henrietta, is that the cycle continues.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it continues. It continues. You know, like you said, you didn't even know she could cook.
I didn't.
You know, and it's like, well, now, didn't you learn?
Okay.
Okay. You know, and I am like looking at I want to call her my niece, but then she's not my niece. She's my cousin.
Right.
And I'm like, she's got two children.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, weren't you a daddy?
Okay.
Didn't you think she would be a mother? Didn't you think that would continue? So, yeah, really present to that. There's someone on the line, 347-776. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay. Is that you, Glenn?
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, how are you?
Good, good. How y'all doing?
We're doing just wonderful.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope we had a great
Same to you. Same to you. Have you been tracking along? I saw you was out there for a little while.
Yeah, I've been listening to the conversation of Henrietta and not knowing, kind of like discovering who her cousin niece is.
That's me. It's her goddaughter. I got the cousin niece.
You got the cousin niece thing going on. Right. Well, you know, it's you know, in the mode of being thankful for the many blessings. You know, I'm just thankful that my mother's still on the planet, you know, and still you know, still heading up the family and still able to do some things, and you know, that God has given me another day of life to, you know, to challenge myself and to deliver my gift to the world. So, I mean, you know, that it's, you know, I've got a lot to be thankful for.
Wonderful. Is there any, you know, like I was telling Henrietta, you know, we started out with just the kind of like the immediate shares, like, you know, the being thankful for our family, being thankful for our extended family in the summit, being thankful for the friendships. And then, you know, I said to her, well, of course, you know, this is just round one. And we will be coming back at a different cut. And so where you are now, where you came into the conversation, is at the different cut level. We're going just a little more deeper.
Okay.
So is there anything, you know, that's really present for you to share about what you mean?
Well, I got to tell you, I just had dinner with my college roommate. There's actually three of us that went to college together, but he has just come through. 6 months ago, he had an accident, and he couldn't move any of his limbs.
Wow.
Okay, he couldn't even feed himself. He couldn't move his hands. He couldn't move his feet. He couldn't move. I mean, he was basically like a little baby. He had to be fed. And to see him walk and spend the day with him, to know that there is a God, that what's and he's worked hard to get to the point where he's walking with a cane now. On his own, able to feed himself again, you know, just to be in conversation with him to you know, and he's not 100%, but yet just the fact that he is able to do some of the things again is just a miracle that life is. So I am thankful for the relationship and friendship and the love that we have for each other.
Wow. I'm just blown away.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just blown away.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it's like, and what I appreciate about your sharing here, Glenn, and everyone sharing for that matter, there's the thing that we say initially. Like when people ask you, how are you doing? And, you know, the typical response is fine, or okay, or I'm doing wonderful, or something really short. And then if they ask you a little more, then you find this really touching or this really inspiring experience.
Yeah.
You know, and what I got present to, when I was asking you for a deeper cut, you know, it's like you just walked away from that. That this, oh man, that was just so wonderful. I mean, like in the Lambert days, I'm touched, moved, and inspired.
Thank you.
You know, both for your friend and what it had to take for him to move through what he had to move through to be where he is today.
Yeah.
And for you to have been with your college roommate, a college friend, and I know you didn't just graduate college, you know, last 4 years ago.
Exactly.
So this has been a minute, right? And for whatever it is you had to endure as you're moving through that space, you know, he had his suffering and you had your own suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the accomplishment is for him and the acknowledgement it is for you to share it, and being willing to share it. I thank you.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you. Wow. I have one more caller to bring in. 646-662, are you there?
Yes, I am.
My ass, who's speaking?
This is Onaje Maweed.
Hey, Onaje.
Hey, John.
How you doing, my brother?
Good. Hello. Hello, Henrietta.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I had a little problem getting into the original conversation, but the part I caught was you, Henrietta, talking about your goddaughter and the whole connectedness to family. And then, John, I think you were talking about a niece that you connected to.
Actually, my cousin. I feel like she's a niece. Good
uh-huh.
is now calling her my cousin niece.
Cousin niece. Well, I had a similar kind of experience this weekend in that my sister, my dearly departed sister, for about 2 years now, actually 3 years, her middle son is incarcerated. And we had, you know, there was discussions about going over to that son's wife's home for Thanksgiving. It didn't happen, but I was really feeling sad about him not being there as a father and a husband, but also my inability or recorded history of not being available myself in terms of not being there, you know, when he wasn't incarcerated. So it was really like a double kind of missing that I was going through. And thinking about it this weekend, I just happened to go past this nursery, and the nursery was selling books as a fundraiser, but they had this bike. And I saw the bike. I said, well, is that for sale? She said, yeah. And the bike was like this incredibly, like, this discounted, right? So I was able to, so out of my concern, the bike appeared, and the bike became the way of, like, being connected with the oldest son. They have three children. So the bike was a way of me, like saying, I love you and I care about you. Not that material things, you know, they don't replace time and energy, but they do say something. So in my physical absence, the bike was a reminder, you know, to the family and to the oldest boy that I loved him. And, you know, I've never given him a gift of that magnitude before. So talking about family and being connected, you know, here it is, this longing that I had that I was able to fulfill. And I was like, I was wondering, like, did I source the bike? You know what I mean? I was looking for a way to make it happen. And I could have come there and just gave him a hug and say, I love you, I missed you, and that could have been it. But it was almost as if, because of the compassion, the bike became an instrument through which the love was, like, expressed. So, you know, to hear everybody talk about family and people that they're close to just kind of run a chord with me. And I just wanted to share that.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I'm a big Matrix fan. Did you guys watch The Matrix?
As often as we can.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, in the last Matrix, in the beginning of The Matrix, Neo is trapped between the machine world and the Matrix and his real world, Zion. And he sees this couple, and they're about to get on the train, and their intention is to send their daughter back into the Matrix, and they worked out a deal with the Merovingi to do that. Well, the point is, he's having this conversation with Neo, and he says, I love my daughter. And Neo said, he said, why are you surprised? And Neo says, I never heard programs speak of love. It's a human emotion. He said, no, it's the word. What matters is the connection that you have with that word. And what you reminded me of was that in your sourcing it, whether however it happened really doesn't matter. What matters is the connection that you have with it. You know, whether it was physical love or it could have been a hug or a hug in a bike or something else. What is really important here, or at least what I see, is the connection that you have with the experience.
Mm.
And the connection that you have with the experience that he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I mean, that's right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that says it all. That is a great example.
That's an excellent example. It sure is. Yeah.
There's a lot of deep stuff in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, as you know, as we have vision, as we source our vision for the Black community in the world, you know, what I've heard from tonight is it's all about relationships. You know, how do we maintain, you know, relationships to people that we care for?
Yeah. And what are you grateful for in that? I mean, for me, this whole space of being thankful, I'm glad that there's a period in the year where we put a lot of extra emphasis on it.
Mm-hmm.
But this opportunity is available every day. And that experience, that feeling that one gets, the feeling that I get when I just get present to being alive, you know, standing on my porch, because that's where I am right now, standing on my porch, looking out into the yard, thankful that I can have this kind of conversation. You know, and there's a lot of things for me to be thankful for, and I'll keep sharing that through the evening, but I'm looking at, like, the very basics, the very essence of when I get up in the morning, you know. And I remember being in church, in a Christian church, and I never did understand what they meant when they said, I like to, you know, thank God for waking me up this morning. And, you know, my wife's parents are older, and that's the first thing her father always says. And I'm thinking, okay, well, he just learned that when he was a little boy. And so he just keep repeating it, just like I learned the Lord's Prayer, and I just keep repeating it, and just like I learned the grace, and I just keep repeating it, not always present to it. But, you know, for some odd reason, tonight I'm present to it.
Mm.
You know, like as a start, like as the beginning of the day, thank you for waking me up.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for being up. He says, you touched me with the finger of love and my eyes came open.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow. All right. So what's an acknowledgement of something that happened this year that you are pretty proud of, that you want to acknowledge or be thankful for? That's open to anyone, everyone.
Well, I like to acknowledge that Creator has allowed me to witness something really and participate to some extent in something really extraordinary. That is, my wife finished her PhD at Temple University. Mm-hmm. And then she was able to go to Australia and actually New Zealand, then Australia. So just to see her go through all of that was really a blessing, to be able to be party to that, because you know, when somebody else is driving and you're in the passenger seat, you know, it's really a wonderful place to be and to see their ups and downs and their trials and tribulations and see the celebration of it all. It was really spectacular. I'm grateful.
Congratulations to her and to you.
Totally. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful experience.
And Onaje, would you add a little? Because here's the thing. In terms of being present, at least for me, context is everything. And so while she has completed her dissertation and has, not her dissertation, but her doctorate,
mm-hmm.
dissertation and doctorate,
mm-hmm.
Can you paint a little bit of the picture of what that accomplishment was? Like, what was the experience over the year and maybe a little bit about last year? You don't have to tell a long story. But kind of paint the context of what this celebration is and how the experience for you.
The only way I could give people any idea of it is people probably remember seeing, you know, the history of mankind, you know, there's certain moments that are really like stand out, like when man first was able to achieve, I think, traveling at the speed of sound or the sound barrier, breaking the sound barrier. I mean, you're going pretty fast. It was 1,100 feet per second or something like that. So, I mean, she had to like break an academic barrier of like, you know, going through like five disciplines, you know, education, psychology, sociology, human relations, and probably what I'm forgetting right now, you know, but all of it having to do with, you know, being connected to emotions and caring and being able to like master all these disciplines all at the same time, and all of them were intricate to her actual dissertation, which was not only complicated in terms of the subject matter itself, but it was also the difference from somebody traveling on a skateboard versus somebody traveling like up in the sky, like an airplane. And the reason I say that is because as the black community is usually overly studied, like everything is always directed towards us. I mean, the whole system of, you know, social work, everything is geared towards let's study the disadvantaged, let's study the unfortunate. You know, those are really consequences of structural racism. But she decided to, in fact, says, no, let me look at it from another point of view. Let me look at those groups of people who are usually in control, and she decided to study them. So what she did was quite exceptional, not only in terms of the content, but also in terms of the perspective that she took. You know, how many dissertations do you know about people studying judges or studying, you know, professors or studying teachers? This is what she did. She decided to look at, okay, how can we understand, you know, white teachers teaching of black students so that we can get better outcomes? Because the reality is most black kids go to public schools, and it's going to be that way for a while. So if we don't transform those systems, our children will continue to have the results that we are doing. So to see her go through all of that and you know, balance and negotiate all those different challenges was phenomenal. So hopefully I've drawn the picture to say the task that she took on was really an enormous one, and she was able to accomplish it.
Yeah. Oh, that's deep.
Anaje.
Yes.
What was the title of her dissertation? Do you remember?
The pedagogy of care, fear, and the pedagogy of care. White teachers in urban centers.
Wow. And how long was she working on it?
I think around 7 years.
Seven.
In terms of, you know, going to school and passing the courses and then doing the comprehensive, put in a proposal for the dissertation, and then actually working through it. And after the proposal was accepted, we kind of both knew that it wasn't going to be an academic pursuit. It really was a spiritual one. And that the very subject that she was looking at studying would be a transformation of herself. And it was. It was, nothing was like, no stone was left unturned. Everything had to be like just examined and reexamined. Her life, you know, as a woman, as a warrior, as a thinker, as a caretaker, as a black woman, you know, she looked at all those things and put it in context. So, and what made it like, there were so many points of it that was really interesting. One is that one person on the committee, Margaret Spencer, is like one of the most recognized black psychologists, child psychologists, like on the planet. At the time, she was teaching at University of Penn, and it's uncommon to get someone of, let's say, that stature to like come and work with another university, because my wife at the time was going to Temple. And Margaret agreed to be on her committee, and that became a very important fact that Margaret was, you know, going around the country saying, well, yeah, look out for the work of Dr., you know, Fatima Hafiz, because she's definitely bringing in a whole new perspective. So she looked at Margaret's work on what is called the PVES model, which is, you know, a way of looking at episodes in one's life, and she kind of looked at it from a cognitive level. My wife kind of like went a step deeper and looked at it on the emotional level, looking at care, the feelings, you know, what is care and how do you express it, you know, looking at Leffel's work in terms of three levels of altruism, actually four levels, altruism, reparations, and what are those four levels? Come here, shy girl. She's shaking her head. Hey, what's the four levels? Okay, attachment, altruism, reciprocity, and reparations. And, you know, and so we care, according to Leffel's theory, you know, through those four different ways. And she was able to bring all of that into the work and just show, like, you know, it's really about caring. You know, how do we care about ourselves and how to care about other people? And I think it's so intricate to the International Black Summit in terms of our vision for the black community in the world, because we have been the feelings of the world, you know, around caring. So how do we magnify that for ourselves and our community so our relationships can become enhanced and optimized? And as we do that, show the world how to do that. So I think her work is going to show up in many, many places.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I do want to hear from some others. And before you share, I want to just ask you what the difference was for you and the way the first time he shared, Anaje shared about what he wanted to acknowledge, what he was thankful for, grateful for, and then the second time after he added the context. Just want to find out if anybody got any comments on that.
Yeah, this is Glenn.
Go ahead, Glenn.
And one of the things, The first level of shit was deep, but the second level, I was living the experience.
Wow. Wonderful. Anybody else?
Henrietta.
Go ahead, Henrietta.
The first time he talked about it, I was like excited about, you know, like ready to clap my hands and yay, you know, like that. And then the second time, I was like, okay, you need to Google how to get your PhD.
Right.
Okay, you need to just Google it while you're sitting here. And wait, my daughter has a friend who graduated from Hampton University, and this is what she always says, go ahead, Miss Bird, go ahead. Whenever I talk about doing something, she always says, go ahead. That is her word, and that's the way I felt, like, okay, it's time to go ahead.
Yeah, so the first time you wanted to cheer, and the second time it kind of moved you into action.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I was laughing because that was like the laugh of recognition because I was thinking the same thing.
Okay.
I need to go work on my PhD.
Right.
I need to go study something and look at really making a difference in it. So that's really wonderful. There's another call on the line at 856. I think it's 856. Are you there?
Hi, it's Clara.
Hi, Clara, fearless leader.
I guess that's sticking, huh? Yeah, I just actually came in on the last part of the Najee's share, and I was just really excited about you know, him sharing about his wife's accomplishments. I thought that was really beautiful. Yeah, and what I wanted to share was I had a really interesting revelation recently, and I've been reading Think and Grow Rich recently, and I've had the book for many years and never cracked a page. But I recently got, you know, had a reason to read the book and started reading it. And when I went to church today, the minister was talking about the kind of the ABCs of faith. And one of the things that blocks faith is immaturity, and that certain things God can't, you know, bless you with until it's the right time. You know, he can't give it to you unless you're at a place in your life where you can receive it. So I got, you know, really thankful about this is the time for me to receive the information, one that's in this book. And then as I was reading the book, it really parallels The Secret, which people are, you know, all up in arms about now, like, you know, it's the best thing since sliced bread. But the book was written, gosh, what, in the 1940s or something? I don't know, it was a long time ago that this book was written. And as I was reading the book and also in church reading the Bible today, it reaffirmed for me that the book is really based on the Word of God, like the principles of that we were going over in faith in this study are the principles that they're talking about in terms of accessing, you know, wealth. The things that you have to apply are the exact same principles that you have to apply, or that we're studying that you have to apply to, you know, have your faith be at its maximum level, you know, to really sustain your faith. And I thought, wow, how awesome is that? You know, like people have been talking about in all of these teachings, you know, talking about the spirit of the universe, which is the spirit of God. And then I you know, I really got the relationship between that and the Word of God in terms of the Bible and the relationship. And I was just like really thankful for that because I've been, you know, affirming and, you know, all of this thing, and I've been praying like they were two separate things. You know what I'm saying? Like they were really two separate things. Like, you know, I got that the universe could give me all of it, but the whole relationship in terms of my prayer cycle and my faith walk know, I hadn't really made that relationship. So that was just a really, you know, I was really for that experience.
Wow. Hi, well, welcome. And thank you for sharing that. I just happened to pull my copy of Think and Grow Rich. It was 1937 when he wrote the first version, Napoleon Hill, who was actually kind of commissioned by Dale Carnegie,
right,
to go out and study the traits of the really successful people in the world, and he went out and studied them, and looked at all the characteristics that they had in common, and wrote about it. You know, it's very interesting reading. Some people would say boring reading, but it was really interesting to me because of the language that he used at the time.
Wow.
And I would imagine, you know, just like as you're reading the Bible, it's like you really got to get inside the language that they're using at the time.
Right.
So that's an understatement. That's so true. Is Jerry still with us?
Yes.
Okay, I was just checking. Okay.
Okay, so next person, what this year, something that you have accomplished that you want to acknowledge, that you're really thankful for, grateful for, what is it? May not be, I know you had a lot of things, but just one of the things that happened this year.
Well, this is Jerry. I helped Acosta elect our first Afro-American president, Commander-in-Chief Barack Obama.
You did, didn't you?
I sure did, because I remember when my father was in his dying bed back in March of 89, we talk about stuff. We talk about politics and stuff like that, and he was telling me about his best friend fought in the World War One, and you know, and he got hanged, you know, in his suit, you know, with all types of medals, and it bothered my father for a very long time. And he said, you know, I hope I live to see, you know, I hope this country is. I don't know how he worded, but what I get from him that I hope that they strong and patient enough to elect the first black president. And it's like when I went to vote, it was tears actually came down my eyes because I vividly remember what me and my father was talking about. I had to actually like wipe my tears. And you know, come on, Jerry. You know, you part of history. You part of historic history. And by me and my father was talking about the spirit that he put in me through God. You know, I helped elect our first Afro American president.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, I did it. I know that. He come with a lot of problems that Bush left us with, especially in our community. I understand that. But I was there. I am part of history. I helped in my little part, and I did it. And when I was watching on TV, you know, about how many states he won and stuff like that, and then when he was going through the western part of the United States, they talking about California, Oregon and stuff, and he president-elect, it was like another feeling. And I remember I went to the balcony, and I threw my hands up like, and I was just jumping around. And I was so moved about it. I just actually jump around. Huh?
Go ahead. There's somebody in the background.
And I would just jump, move around, and I said, and you know, it's like I watch the TV, and I said, I just wish my father was here to see it. At that spare moment, it was a bittersweet for me. And
wow.
it was so great that, and I see people, I see black people around live that they was hugging, they actually was getting out of cars, double parking everything, hugging each other. We did it. And I went downstairs, and there was certain people were security, and I shook their head, and I said, and they said, we did it because I want to be in that moment. It was very important to me to be in that moment at that time. And to see so many people that had part in this historic moment, change, it's very rewarding. It really
very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I'm really glad that you shared it, because I actually wasn't even present to that phenomenal event. Not that I'm not present to that he's the president, but I wasn't present to my experience of that event and my role in that event. So thank you for sharing that, because that's another thing I can put on my list to be thankful for and grateful for. All right, who else? This year, accomplishment, something you want to acknowledge, be thankful for, actually really just get present to. Somebody sleep?
I don't know.
maybe it's heavy breathing.
heavy breathing. Okay.
I want to acknowledge my mom. I'm really, really thankful for my mom. She was a request this year that we all come home Thanksgiving. And, just acknowledging there's been a lot of transition. Just this past week, my cousin made her transition. You know, my uncle's daughter, and, you know, they called and we're trying to put together services before, I don't know, it actually occurred after Thanksgiving, the services. But, you know, just bringing the family together, I just want to acknowledge her for being the rock, the glue in our family. Like, no matter what's going on, my mom is always there for everybody.
Wow.
Myself, my siblings, my nieces, my nephews, everybody in the family. She's just this rock. This pillar, and I wish, you know, that I one day can be the saint that she already is, and you know, I wish I could give more to her. You know, I really wish I could, you know, just bless her in more ways, you know, in all ways possible. She's just a phenomenal human being, and I really love her. So I'm very thankful that she's still here and that I still have her, you know, and I haven't, you know. Everybody wants my mom to be their mom, so I'm always sharing her with others, but I'm really thankful that she's my mom.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, before we move into, I guess it would be round four, anybody else, any comments? Anything you want to share?
Mr. Glenn.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, one of the things I want to share is the impact that the International Black Summit has had in my life over the years. And for me, what I get to do through the International Black Summit is to clear myself, is to acknowledge the life that I'm having, you know, and include the good, the bad, and the ugly and still have a great life.
Mm.
So that's what I wanted to share for now.
Say a little bit more about that, Glenn.
Well, life always has its ups and downs, and so you talked a little bit about it. The other brother talked a little bit about it in terms of the relationship. And so what is my relationship to life as it's occurring? And so I know that I'm responsible for my life. I get to generate my life, and I get to deal with what gets dealt to me and what I create for myself out of it. And so I get to look to see and have a great life. By declaration, by choice, by a statement of being, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's still things that I don't have in my life that I would like to have that I'm working on having, but that is something that's for me to get to, and I still have a great life no matter what's occurring in the day-to-day and moment-to-moment.
Yeah.
I concur.
Yeah.
It's actually wonderful. I was looking, you know, as I'm asking this question, what's one of the things you want to acknowledge, one of the accomplishments for this year that you want to acknowledge and like be thankful for? And I was looking at my own life, and, you know, similar to what Henrietta said, there's so many things, there's so much stuff, I just don't know which one. She didn't say this, but I'm just saying it. Like, which one do you share about me? Which one am I going to? So that's been going on in my mind. And I would say one of the most surprising things that's happened this year for me has been serving as the president of the Chamber of Commerce in my town. And, you know, typically how my history goes is I'm usually the person that starts something. You know, put it together, formulate it, organize it, rally people around it. And because of that, I'm usually someone in a leadership role by default. This is probably the first time I know in maybe 20 years. If it's not 20 years, it's at least 15 years, 15, 20 years, where I've come into an established community or an established organization and assume the role of the leader, which is to me a whole different space. It's a whole different space, a whole different come from for me, a whole different, you know, just the whole thing is just different. You know, it's like before there was nothing and then something was created and we're creating. In this space, it's like there was something already there. Whether good, bad, indifferent, or ugly, it was already there. So all of that I inherited. And just to paint a little bit of the picture, the town that I live in is about 60% black. However, the business community is about 90% white. And to be elected as the president was one thing. This whole year has been a really interesting experience in what we're doing and how we're doing what we're doing, what we're creating, what we're establishing. And I just hit the ground running. You know, the thing that I can appreciate about this transformational work and the work that we do at an International Black Summit is that one of the things that is really present is looking at the what so of things and looking at what's missing. And all I've been doing is putting in what I see that's missing, not fixing it, you know, not making it wrong, just like, okay, I see this missing, I put that in. And see this missing, we put that in. I see another thing missing, we put that in. And it's been really revealing. For the first time in a long time, all I have to carry today is vision. You know, I don't have the technical expertise. I don't have the years of experience. You know, all I have is vision. And the vision has been building a thriving community. And the whole year has been about unveiling that. What does that mean? What is that? How does that relate to the school system? How does that relate to the businesses? How does that relate to the town government? You know, what does it take to build a thriving community? And the real cool thing is I get to ask a whole bunch of questions. You know, that I don't have to have the answers to. I get to ask the questions, and the people who got the answers get to answer it. The experts get to say. So this has been, and I think I shared this with Clara, and I shared it with some of the facilitators before. It has been a really interesting experience just being in the space of just having a vision, holding a vision, and just standing for it. And looking for the people who can hear it, and looking and listening for the people who can move it forward and creating partnership. So out of all the things that's happened this year so far, that would be the thing that I want to acknowledge. It's like I'm 12 or 10, somewhere in there, years old again, and I'm just discovering life and how it all starts to come together. It's been an amazing journey to be back in this space of discovery and possibility and creation. I'll be 47 this December 24th. And so at going on 47 years old, it's a really inspiring space to be in. And it's got me looking, really, like really looking. And I don't think I'm going to live forever. So it's got me looking at least the next 20 years. You know, next 20 years I'll be, 67. So what could I create over the next 20 years? My relationships with people, my relationships in this town, you know, the impact on the world. It really is like it does go down to that part in our declaration that talks about we declare that our community, well, there's two parts. We declare our community and all communities are whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. And at the bottom it says, what is it? In the transformation of the world and universe. Help me out here.
Ourselves and community as a contribution of transformation of the universe. It's a very,
yeah, say that again.
It's the very last sentence.
The very last sentence.
Our community as a contribution. I'm missing the first part of it. I just know it's as a contribution to the transformation of the universe.
We declare our community as a transformation.
Let me pull it up.
We declare that our community manifests itself in the
world.
Yes.
The world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe.
Say that again. One more time, Clara.
Clara, can you repeat it?
We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's
and
what I'm getting present
John,
for. Go ahead.
John. And I say you've already done it. And you can do it again. But I assert that you've already done it because you are the president of the Chamber of Commerce in a city in South Carolina.
North Carolina. Yes.
Look, you a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. Manifest yourself in the world.
Okay, you are a bad mother. Shut your mouth. Okay. Yes, because that is a state. Well, I won't even go into it, but that's a major accomplishment.
Yeah.
That is major.
It sure is.
That is major. I think you should send your credentials to Glenn because I think you are one of the men of the month. Or you can be a man of the month.
Right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, for real. Really.
I got you. And I got you. And Glenn's on the line.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, one of the things that I've learned that, over the years is that, one, acknowledgement is not about me. The acknowledgement is about the person giving the acknowledgement. So I thank you for that. And the other thing I've learned is to take the coaching. You know, I'm not going to resist it. I probably don't want to do it if you left it up to me. But I'm like, okay, fine. Send it to the Glenn. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Not a problem at all.
So it's just a matter of what month, brother?
We just need to chat about it. I'm at your pleasure.
All right.
You know, because one of the things that I'm really committed to this year, and we'll be talking a little more about this in our facilitator body call, is how we can acknowledge the manifestation of the declaration. You know, like not how we got to create the manifestation of it, how we can begin to acknowledge where it's already happening. And then we can look at where else we want to take it, but where is it already happening? So we got about 14 more minutes, 11 more minutes, I'm sorry. Any closing comments?
I would like to invite everyone to Baltimore in January, you know, and have an opportunity to, you know, share themselves and be with our family. And also to come back in August if you can't make it in January.
So in January we're having a leadership body meeting?
Correct.
Okay, and you're inviting people to participate in the leadership body meeting?
That's correct. Making
okay, good.
I'm also inviting them to come to the website and just present themselves and join our network. What's the website address, John?
www.blacksummit.org.
Thank you.
You can go join the network, get to know some of the people who are participating in this particular conversation. In this way of thinking, this way of looking at life, you become friends with them. You can join the group, and you can find out more about the International Black Summit and the rest of it. And Claire, I know you probably want to say something else about the network, but let me just check in with at least one more person, and then I want you guys to do what you guys do because I'm the guest host on the talk show. I don't quite know the process yet.
You are not a guest. You are our fifth Sunday host.
Okay, I'm a fifth Sunday host.
Thank you.
And it is the fifth Sunday.
And it is the fifth Sunday. Okay. Any other closing comments?
Yeah. Can you hear me, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, beautiful. This is Onaji again. As we are expanding the universe, because, you know, the universe is always expanding, in that, you know, being a member of International Black Summit, my wife and I have a radio show on a sister station. It's called www.harambeeradio.com, and we have a show on every Tuesday at 10 p.m. The name of our show is called In Loving Voice with Open Heart. And this Tuesday show, we're going to talk about my wife's trip. So those of you who did hear some of the show and you want to hear some more feedback about her trip to Australia, to New Zealand and Australia, and as you know, we have relatives there, you know, people of color, Maori as well as the Aborigines from Australia. She's going to talk about some of their developments and transitions. So that's www.harambeeradio.com, and we'd like to extend our International Black Summer greetings and invitations to our family to also listen into that show as well.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And tell your wife, thank you for having the party.
Yeah, we had a big celebration. Big celebration.
All right, who else? Closing comments.
Well, I'm gonna make some closing comments. It was so funny. I was talking about the declaration of International Black Summit. I was on the same line about it. And any time when y'all read the declaration of International Black Summit, started in 1991, it puts me in a certain level about our people that had gave their life for us so we could prosper. And I always had to acknowledge that because, and it wasn't for them through God's work, we would never acknowledge. I would never have the chance to be part of this family. I would never be here because through God. And so the Declaration of International Black Summit for me is the progress and continued progress of people of color globally. And that's what I get from it.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you, Jerry. Who else? Closing comments. One more.
Next Sunday, Henrietta. Next Sunday is holiday music, so you can call in and listen to some favorites. It's on track.
Okay.
On track with Henrietta Bird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming toward the end of the year, are you on track for finishing your year? And are you on track for playing to win in 2010? I'm coining that phrase, so if you hear any
like
stuff, you know it came from me.
Okay.
All right, who else? Closing comments. All right, we're at the 5-minute mark. Clara or someone you designate, would you share about the International Black Summit Talk Show Network? I think she dropped off.
The International Black Summit Talk Show Network airs every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and also on the second and fourth Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As you heard, we have Ms. Henrietta Bird on the first Sunday with On Track, and we're going into the holidays, so we have some very special treats for you. We won't be doing our typical themes during December, and we will. but it'll be in the spirit of the holidays and of celebration and of the various holidays. So we have something special in terms of music on the first Sunday with Ms. Henrietta Bird. On the second Sunday with Ms. Shakaysha Showers, we will be doing celebration of the holiday Kwanzaa. And so she's got a very special show planned then. The third Sunday is Vision Works, and that show, I'm still developing what we're going to do around the holidays, but we're brewing up some things for those. And then we have our Man of the Month that will be the fourth Sunday with our host, Glenn Greenwich. And Glenn also hosts the Wealth Club on the second and fourth Tuesday. So we have a phenomenal, we're going to end the year with a mighty bang, and we've got some new content coming for 2010, so you have to come back and listen. We'll have some new hosts. We're working on a youth show. We're working on some different themes for the existing show. So if you've gotten a little attached, we're sorry. We're going to make it bigger and better, but it's going to be a phenomenal 2010, and I just want to acknowledge and thank John was asking what I'm, one of the things I'm thankful for this year. I'm thankful for the talk show team hosts. You know, you all, including Mr. John, who says he's a guest. He's not a guest. He's at home. I'm in the refrigerator, and you don't have to ask where the bathroom is. You know, you Fifth Sunday only comes about, what, four or five times a year, but John is our fifth Sunday host, and it's always a pleasure for, you know, us to hear you host your show. I always enjoy it. So, but I want to thank all of the talk show hosts, Henrietta, Glenn, John, and Shakaysha, for all of their work and commitment this year to continuing the conversation of the International Black Summit. And I'd also like to invite our listeners to go to our website, become a part of our social network, you know, let us know who you are, and if you have, you know, ideas for us for 2010 that you'd like to see us do, things that you like that we did this year that you'd like us to continue, you know, drop us a line on the website, www.blacksummit.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'd like to thank all of you who's on the call tonight on the show, who called into the show tonight. I keep saying on the call because I'm on the telephone. And it seems like one of our conference calls, but it's not. It's a live internet talk show. And I'm in the great town of Spring Lake, and Clara is normally in New Jersey, but I think she's in California right now. I'm not sure. And Glenn is in New Jersey, and Henrietta is in Michigan, is it? And Jerry is in New York.
Chicago.
She's in Chicago. And Jerry is in New York as well. So people have called in from all over the country, and there are people listening in from all over the country, and I thank you all. Thank the people on the call. Thank the people listening to the call. you know, be sure to tune in to the rest of the shows, and sounds like there's an exciting year coming up. I'm not sure when the next fifth Sunday will be, but I'll be back then. I'm your host of this segment. My name is John Thomas, and I hope to see you in January when we're in Baltimore at our leadership conference. You're more than welcome to attend, and or in Baltimore in August when we have our annual event. By the way, you don't have to wait until we come to your town for us to come to your town. So if you're interested in finding out more about the International Black Summit, go to our website, www.blacksummit.org. Find the administrator, send a message to the administrator, say you're interested in having one of our courses or one of our programs or one of our seminars in your town, and we'll be happy to comply. I think that's it for me. Bless you.
Thank you.
And at this point, we got about 15 seconds left. Thank you all for tuning in. See you next time on the radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Great show.
Hang up. Hang up.